Well, she's here.
She's here.
Yeah. She's probably about 70%. But I think her meds make her a little wacky. not wacky like, you know, in a bad, but just a little foggy. So I'm gonna lead us in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can be together tonight, and I thank you for these people. I do ask your blessing upon them and all the things that were mentioned tonight. We look to the Lord. Our trust is in you. We desire to see your hand evident in everything. And we pray for your grace to be sufficient. We ask this in the Lord's name. Amen. All righty. As you're making your way on back, it's good to see you tonight. Thanks for getting started and getting going on your prayer time. I appreciate that very much. I was occupied in another matter. And thank you for doing that. Was there, while you're up, Chris, could you make sure that everybody has a handout over there? They're on the table. If you didn't get a handout and you need one, Chris would be happy to get you one. Anybody need a handout? Don't have one? Need one? I think everybody's good, Chris, it looks like. Thanks. Well, it is good to see you tonight. I'm glad that you're here. Was there anything mentioned tonight that I'm not aware of? That can somebody give me a quick rundown, real quick?
Well, Henry John in India.
Yep. Yep.
So you were just talking about that.
Okay.
Him and what they're trying to do there. Dennis is bringing Rachel, Kristen, Joshua.
Is it? Alexis and Deja.
Deja. And pray for them that, because, you know, one can be ending. And that, you know, especially in the summer, that, you know, they keep coming here.
Yeah. For your information, the Awana closing program is the 20th, 2 weeks from tonight. That next Wednesday night, the children's program starts for the summer, so there's no lag time in there at all.
Jackie's sister, Christine, is going through a divorce, married for 5 months.
Hmm.
And so Christina and Mark and the daughter started having seizures through this.
Great, thank you. Did you mention, David, David, did you mention when the funeral is? Did you mention that?
No, I didn't know.
The viewing is tomorrow night at West, which is on Robert Street from 4 to 8 tomorrow night. And then the service, the funeral service is on Friday, St. Joe's? At St. Joe's in St. Paul, and that's at 11 o'clock on Friday morning. So if you would be praying for the Valerio family, and also for the Fish family. And I know they would appreciate that very much. And if you weren't here Sunday night, Santos's fiance drowned Saturday night. Do I have that right, Santos? Last Saturday night in an accident. And so if you just be praying for that, for those families connected with that. Okay? Well, good. It is great to see you tonight. I'm glad that you're here. Again, thank you for getting things going while I was attending to the other matter. We're in Proverbs chapter 27 tonight. Next week, for point of information, we'll flip the order here a little bit. We'll have the Bible study first next Sunday night. Next Wednesday night, we'll get started right at 7. And then Michael has a scholarship program that he won. And so Brendan and I are going to blitz to that, and hopefully I'll get there before that award is presented next Wednesday night. So we're going to flip-flop that. We'll do the Bible study first, and then I'll leave and let you have your prayer time together. But I just want to make sure that you knew that in anticipation. We're in Proverbs chapter 27 tonight, getting close to the end of the book of Proverbs, and we'll take a couple of weeks in the summer as well to make sure that we finish this Just like all of the Proverbs that we studied, there are some that are very familiar to you. For example, I'm sure Proverbs 27:1 is a verse that you know. Don't boast about tomorrow. Why? Because you don't have any idea what a day may bring forward. And we all have known that by experience. Verse 6 is a great verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes a friend will say something to us and it hurts. It is a truthful observation intended to be helpful, communicated in love without any animosity or agenda. I just want to help you. And I'm not sure if you realize this, but have you ever thought about, and as you listen, it hurts? Well, the Bible says that a wound administered in that kind of way from a friend is a trustworthy wound. It's like what a surgeon does when he takes the scalpel to skin. Most of the time, you're under anesthesia when that happens. Most of the time. But there's always a little bit of pain afterwards when you have that scar. But he's not your enemy, right? He's not like someone might be with a sharp blade, which is the next part. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's verse 6. You can study that one on your own. In verses 15 and 16, you have this third time that we have in Solomon's Proverbs this contentious woman conversation, except this time she's like a very rainy day. And so you can look at that. And restraining her is like trying to restrain the wind. You know, how would you stop that? Have you ever said, "Well, I wish it would stop blowing today"? And you may have said that, you may have wished it, but nothing happened. Well, there you go. Okay, so that's the third time he said it. There probably is something to be noted about that. Verse 17 is a verse I'm sure that you know, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. The proverb I want to look at tonight is verse 7. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I'm sure that you have been in the situation like I described in the opening paragraph, where you go to grandma's house and grandma says, "Eat up," and she keeps serving. Are you full? Are you full? You can't be full yet. Have a little bit more. And you eat and eat and eat at grandma's house, and you always say, "Oh, grandma, I ate too much." But there was a pleasantness about that. You were glad to do it. But maybe you've been in a situation like some of us have been in, and you drive down Robert Street, and there are, I think, between here and the end of Robert Street on this side of town, I think there are 6 Chinese buffets that you can go to between here and there. And for $8.95 or $7.95 or $6.95, you can eat and eat and eat and eat. And when you first walk into the restaurant and you load up your plate with that first plate of whatever it is that's off the buffet, it is really, really good. But then by the end of it, it's, you know, not so much. I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad used to take my sister and me on our birthdays. My birthday is July 5th. My sister's is July 7th. We would go, between the day on July 6th, we would go to a place in Kankakee, Illinois. And this is back in the day, you know, when we were kids, we didn't eat out a lot, probably like most of you. You know, now in today's culture, eating out is much more commonplace, I think, than it was when I was a kid, and I'm guessing probably when you were a kid, except, of course, for Chris and Katie. But for the rest of us, you know, that's just how it is. And when we would go to this, it wasn't even called a buffet. Any of you old-timers know what they used to call those all-you-can-eat places? Smorgasbords. You heard that, right? If you heard that term, for you young kids, smorgasbord is the old term for all you can eat. And we would go, and I would load up my plate with as much fried shrimp as my plate would hold, because I love fried shrimp. And I'd dog every one of those things. And then I'd go get another plateful and do it all over again. And at some point in the night, I'm not sure where, at some point in the night, I didn't want to see another fried shrimp. I had had so much. This text is talking about that kind of thing, but it's not talking about food. And the idea in this particular proverb is talking about when being full brings no satisfaction. You know, normally the condition of being full is a good thing, right? Normally it's a good thing. I mean, it's good. Don't you hate it when you go to a restaurant and they serve you your meal and you leave the restaurant hungry? Have you ever had that experience? You paid all this money and and you said to your wife, we got to stop at McDonald's on the way home because I didn't get enough. I've done that with Brenda. Normally, the experience of being full is a good thing. Like what? Well, like with food. This is Exodus 16:8 when Moses, we're not going to take the time to look at these tonight because our time is almost gone already. When Moses says to the people, here's what God gave you. God gave you manna from heaven and God gave you meat in the form of bird and you were full. And Moses says, that's a good thing. That's normal. Normally, the condition of being full is a good thing. In Nehemiah 9 and verse 25, let's look at that particular text. Go back a little bit in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah and see how Nehemiah describes the condition of the people because of God's blessing on them. 9. Verse 22 in Nehemiah says this. Nehemiah speaking to God. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided them into districts. They took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You multiplied their children as the stars of heaven. You brought them into the land which you told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued them before the inhabitants of the land. You gave them into their hands with their kings and people that they might do with them as they wish. And then verse 25, and they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of all goods. Cisterns where they're already dug, and the wells, they needed those to live. Vineyards. They didn't have to wait for the vineyards to produce fruit or for the vineyards to mature. They already were. The olive groves, which produce olive oil, which is a necessity in the Middle East, all of that was already there. Fruit trees were already in abundance. So what did they do? They ate and were filled and they grew fat and they delighted themselves in your great goodness. That sounds like a good thing, right? Because normally, the condition of being full is a good thing. Like with children. Psalm 127:5 says that the man who has his quiver full is blessed of the Lord. Quiver full of what? Kids. And I tell people that my quiver has a capacity of 4. That's full in our house. Mr. Glazing, Holly's dad, suffer me to tell you this again. You remember, of course, that he had Alzheimer's. And when I would go visit him at the florist, because he worked just about every day until he was no longer able to, I'd walk in and I'd have to introduce myself to him again, and which was fine. And he would always ask me the same thing. Say, now how many kids do you have? And I'd say, I have 4. And he always gave me the same response. Well, that's a good start. To which, and he was in his 80s, to which I would say to him, now Fred, how many kids do you have? And he would say, 3, to which I would say, well, that's a good start, and that would end our conversation on a particular subject. The scriptures say that that is a good thing. Normally, the condition of being full is a good thing, like with a wife. Proverbs 15:19 says, here's how a man is satisfied, or he is full. He is satisfied with the wife of his youth. Normally, the condition of being full is a good thing. But in the proverb that we're looking at in Proverbs 27:7, the condition of being full is not a good thing. Instead, the one who is in this full condition, as the first part says, a satisfied soul, his condition is full, his response is that he loathes the honeycomb. He detests it. He's not interested in it. It brings him no satisfaction. Now, if you lived in this day and time, honey would have been a wonderful thing for you to have. Honey can make the bland really good. It can make the simple better. It's a wonderful delicacy to have. But you don't even want that. Why wouldn't somebody want that? The answer is because he's already full, which is the second idea. When a man foolishly fills himself with a lesser thing, even the more valuable item becomes at best bland and in the worst detested. Why would somebody loathe honey? The answer is given to us in the verse. Because there is already something that has filled him up. And the implication is that whatever that thing was that filled him up was not as good as the honey. It wasn't like he'd already filled himself up with all kinds of honey and now he didn't want any more. He filled himself up with a lesser item, so now the better item, he didn't want it. When somebody does that, when a person foolishly fills himself up with a lesser thing, even the more valuable item is detestable to him, or maybe even bland. Let me give you an example. On the text in your handout, I said, like a wife. Proverbs 5:19 says that a man is to be satisfied by his wife. And it's very, very specific in the text. In fact, the text says, let her breasts satisfy this man. Now, why would a woman, why would a wife not be able to satisfy her husband? So that God would say to him, hey, listen, be satisfied with the wife of your youth. Let's think about that a little bit. If a man fills his mind with images, either real, that is, women that he sees in his place of work, in his connections, in his relationships. That's what he fills his mind with. Or in a fantasy world, on the internet, in magazines, in videos, on television, if he fills his mind with that so that his soul is satisfied, the result is he loathes the honeycomb, which would be his wife. That's an illustration of that. And the thing that is more valuable, his wife, instead he fills himself up with what is far less valuable. It's foolish when somebody does that. People do this with God. Why don't people hunger after God? When you think about it, it really doesn't make any sense. This God of heaven has said, I love you. I will give you every good thing. I won't withhold any good thing from you. I'll be your God. You'll be mine. I'll be like a daddy to you. I will be your daddy. You'll be my kid. I'll provide every need that you ever had. I will do that for you. A man says, eh, why would he do that? Have you ever considered 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17 with that thought in mind? Let's look there for a moment. These are well-known verses to you. I hope that you have not, like Thomas Jefferson did with his Bible, cut this verse out of your Bible Did you know that Jefferson actually did that? Jefferson went through his Bible and verses he didn't like, he took a penknife and he cut them out of his Bible. We may not do that literally, but we do it figuratively. I hope you haven't done that with this particular verse. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. And he who does the will of God abides forever. Why is it that someone would not fill himself up, satisfy himself with God? Answer, because he's already full. What is he already full of? He's already full of the world that is here in 1 John chapter 2. And there is no desire for God because there's nothing left to in him that would desire anything. He has already filled himself up. You know, this is one of the dangers of affluence and modern media. You and I have so much that really, what need is there for me toward God? It's one of the reasons that in our house, this is just what we do. It's one of the reasons in our house, we just don't go to the Mall of America and walk around. So why don't you do that? Because that has the potential simply to fill us up with something other than God. I could have that. I could have this. I could have this. I could have that. Look at that. Look at this. I didn't say we don't go to the Mall of America. But when we go for a purpose. Purpose is to buy something that we need, that we're going to use. But just to go and walk around and fill our eyes with all that, I think in our family that probably falls under that lust of the eyes kind of thing. I don't have that, but if I had that, that would satisfy me and then my soul would be full. It's foolish to fill oneself up with a lesser thing when even the more valuable thing is available to him, but he doesn't do that. Here's what wisdom does, and we got to finish up. Wisdom embraces the practice of self-restraint. Self-restraint from that which only delivers a buzz. You know what I mean by that term, right? Only delivers a buzz. You say, I didn't know that was in the Bible. It is. It's Hebrews 11, 25. It says that there's pleasure for how long? Yeah, just a short time. It's a buzz. That's what it is. Instead, embrace the practice which delivers full satisfaction. Psalm 16, 11 says, at your right hand are, does anybody know what the next word is? You got it. Pleasures forevermore. Not a buzz, forever. At the right hand of God. If my satisfaction, if my soul is filled up with Him, I'll know the internal joy that He desires for me to have. So here's what I want you to think about. Ponder it maybe before you go to bed tonight. What lesser pleasures fill you up when you could be satisfied by the real thing? That's a good question, I think, to ponder. Here's a second one. What fuller joy could you know if you would show self-restraint toward the lesser in exchange for the deeper satisfaction of the greater? What fuller joy could you know? Those are a couple of questions for you to consider. All right, I kind of had to whip through this real fast tonight. Maybe I raised a question that I didn't answer in your head or a comment that you have. Anybody real quick? All righty. Great to see you. Thanks for being here tonight.